Over the last 20 years in particular, we've seen a massive shift in what we consider to be right and good and worthy and defensible. And so now, if you look at some of this shift in values, we've moved from a nation of people, both of our nations, Canada and the U.S., from thinking that it was important to belong to community to now prioritizing individuality and independence. We've moved away from assuming that people automatically deserve respect and encouragement to a society of people where criticism is the norm. And often that's done in uncivil ways. We look at the fact that traditionally we thought you get ahead through hard work and tenacity at finishing your tasks. But no longer is that the case. Now people want to gain in the future through entitlement. You owe me. You should give to me. The government owes me. The world owes me. We have traditionally had this idea that it's important that you perform at a level of excellence. But that's now moved to settling for adequacy. We believe that it was important to invest in the common good, but now all we look for is personal benefit, private advantage, how we can exploit things to our own advantage. We used to be a people who planned and prepared for the future because we thought that was the way to make it as good as possible. But now we don't worry about the future, we demand instant gratification. We want it, and we want it now. And it used to be the case where we would pursue integrity, because that's what made you a good person. That's what made you somebody worth listening to and following and helping. But no longer, what we pursue now are comfort and happiness and security, sometimes at the expense of integrity. All that has resulted in a massive shift that's taken place where we no longer believe that there's such a thing as moral or spiritual absolutes. Everything now is situational. It depends on the individual and how they choose to interpret and deal with their situation or their current conditions. We've moved away from the acceptance of personal responsibility to demanding our rights. We think that it's due to us and nobody should stand in our way, and we have no responsibility toward earning those rights. And increasingly what we're finding is that people have moved away from exercising values-based discernment to instead exercising values-free tolerance. Tolerance has become one of the leading values of the day in both of our cultures. And it happens to undermine our culture. We need leaders who are going to help us retain a sense of propriety and purpose in life.
God's grace to you, his peace and his mercy. These words from the epistle to Timothy. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control, we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord God, help us this day. Focus on your word and your word alone. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Well, what we saw this morning was a little excerpt. His name is George Barna, and George Barna, for years, has done the best research, especially for the church. If George Barna said it, pastors and politicians and everyone else will believe it. And what George Barna has found is that there's a massive shift in our communities, our culture. If you look out today, you will notice a shift in what people believe, how people believe, how we get our information. It's like the world is changing and it'll never, ever go back. And so I begin to wonder, where are we going? How far can we go? Is there a limit to what God will say enough is enough? And I begin to wonder, and I'm looking at Timothy. And Timothy was a young pastor. And Paul had basically taken him under his wing. And in this letter, Paul is trying to encourage him. So the background of this letter is almost as important as what Paul is saying. Because Paul is in prison in Rome, and he can see the end. Because he has appealed to Caesar, the most powerful man in the entire world. He has voluntarily gone to Caesar to make his appeal for Jesus Christ. He knows for certain there's only one thing that will ever happen to a man who tells Caesar that there is someone above him and he must obey that person. Paul knows it. And yet he is writing to Timothy to encourage him to go down a road in which there is hope for the future. Traditionally, we would say that Paul was ministering in Rome about the time at which a man named Nero was emperor. And if you know anything about Nero, he wasn't of a right mind. Historically, we would say he burned part of Rome just so that he could take it over for himself. It's also, in historical terms, the greatest persecution of Christians ever. Christians were put into gladiator rings. They were crucified in there. They were fed to lions. We have never seen such persecution in a short amount of time. And so here is Paul in chains, writing to a young man saying, there's hope for the future. This is not our home. Continue on with what I have taught you, because passing along what you have learned is one of the greatest importance, because Jesus Christ must be preached. That even after I'm gone, you must continue in the teaching of what God has done for you. So a nation that is totally against God, a man in high power that could care less about who God is, and a seemingly it's going to get worse mindset. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds familiar because in today, we have politicians who could care less about who God is. It's going to get worse. It doesn't matter who you vote for next month. It doesn't matter. Everyone who has looked into the future has said that the persecution of the church is about to really ramp up and begin. Outside the United States, you don't have to tell people persecution of the church has begun. In China, when you're put into prison, you're never seen again. Over in the Middle East, you've already heard the stories. They posted on YouTube. They make sure that you know that Christianity is not tolerated in their culture. It's about to happen here. And there's nothing you can do with your vote that will stop it. It's about to get a lot worse. The prediction is within a couple of years that telling somebody about Jesus, to reading the Bible, is going to be considered hate speech and legally prosecuted. We've got it good here, but it's about to get worse. But the idea is here. If Paul is encouraging Timothy to continue in hope, if Paul is saying, I'm passing the torch along to you, because I want to encourage you. Because there is something that can happen here. What about for us today? What about for us today? We're looking out and said, yeah, it's grim. But the idea here is this. No matter who you vote for, no matter who wins, it doesn't matter if it doesn't start right here. Because what happens here is what really influences the eternal destiny of others. Teaching about who Jesus Christ is, passing along God's love to the next generation, is of utmost importance that they know that God loves them so much that he gave his life so that you have a new identity in him. Who you are is rooted in who he was as his sacrifice to you. That his love was so big that when it fills you up, it changes your life and changes others. So Paul wanted to encourage him. You know, I've heard a story. Even though I was 4 years old, even though I was a young guy and already I was, my dad told me I was preaching from a pulpit in a makeshift front room of my house. We've got video of this. It's hilarious. But the idea there is that even at 4 years old, I was looking back, 1979. Anybody remember 1979? Good, you just admitted how old you were, right? 1979, I've heard that things were really bad. That if you can remember gas stations not having any gasoline. Do you remember the idea that over halfway around the world, our embassy was taken over by a group of students? And the people in there in Iran were taken captive. It seemed like it couldn't get any worse. And then it's interesting. There was a man from Minnesota, I've heard, that he had this idea that he didn't want to hear any of this negativity, that he was going to cast a vision inside the people entrusted to him. He said, you know what, it is bad, but we're going to give people hope. I'm just wondering, what would it sound like if we gave people hope today? And I've got a video, and I want you to see if you guys can recognize this.
Great moments are born from great opportunity. And that's what you have here tonight, boys. That's what you've earned here tonight. One game. If we played them 10 times, they might win 9. Not this game. Not tonight. Tonight, we skate with them. Tonight, we stay with them. And we shut them down because we can. Tonight, we are the greatest hockey team in the world. You were born to be hockey players. Every one of you. And you were meant to be here tonight. This is your time. Their time is done. It's over. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what a great hockey team the Soviets have.
And so I tried to put it in Minnesota terms, that you guys love this sport so dearly that I wanted to get this idea to you is this. In 1980, a group of college students took on the most fearsome opponent they had ever faced in front of a huge crowd. And this coach instilled in them from day one this one purpose to take on this opponent. And so he instilled in them day after day the sense of learning from him what it would take in order to take on this opponent. And so if you remember, he said, opportunity. Great things happen from opportunity, folks. I don't know about you, but I'm so sick and tired of hearing things on the radio, things on the newspaper. It seems like up until the elections, all we can hear is negativity. It's almost like we're glad when the elections finally come so we can get that over with, only to see that it's been replaced by even more negativity. Folks, this is the opportunity now. If we wait any longer, it's going to get worse, even in this community. I want to instill in your mind that this is a time in which, if we wait, we will lose this opportunity. We will lose the chance to pass along to the next generation the saving message of Jesus Christ. And the entire culture might lose hope in what we have had for a long time. There is no more uncertainty. Things are going to get worse until the time when Jesus comes. But we want to pass along the strength that Paul had, that even in his chains, he was encouraging us. Today, I want you to see that no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, there is always an opportunity in which to pass along what has been entrusted to you. Some of you think, well, I used to teach Sunday school so long ago. That's no longer in my life. Someone else can take over. I say to you, if that mentality remains, then we have always lost hope. Because every one of you can pass along something to the next generation. Every one of you can be influential in one of these young people's lives to carry on the hope that Christ who lives in them can transform the world. And we will never stop in a proclaiming of who Jesus is to us. Speaking of Sunday school, speaking of who there is that goes before us. How many of you are Sunday school teachers here this morning? If you would come forward, please. Right now. Folks, the reason why I'm doing this right here, right now, is that I want to highlight this. Paul was writing to Timothy, a young man, to pass along to the next generation. These people here are passing along. If you would come along here. Elders of the church, I would ask you to come forward. Elders of the church, if you are here. The idea here is we want to give encouragement because these people here have to put up with the young people of this generation. That what we saw up here of children being changed by culture, these people dare to be on the front lines teaching our kids. If you would, Sunday school teachers who are now called shepherds, I would ask you to face this way. I'm going to do a little installation. Elders, what I'm expecting from you is when we pray, I just want you to come along in the back to lay a hand on each one of these if you can. As a church, we are asked to pray for these people, to give them encouragement so that they will keep going, so that our young people know that God loves them and He is still active in their lives. Brothers and sisters, you are to assist the ministry of the word and sacraments by instructing God's children according to His holy word. You are to prepare yourselves for this work by your individual and corporate study of the word of God and the faith drawn from it as has been delivered to us in the creeds and the confessions of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. While holiness of life and work is the way of all who trust in Christ, it is especially important that you show yourselves by word and example to be patterns of good works and Christian devotion. In the presence of God in this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the offices of shepherds entrusted to you? Do you promise to carry out your duties faithfully, trusting in Him and conforming to His word in accordance with the faith of our church? Then answer, yes, I do. Congregation, is it our intention to support the teaching of our young people through the Word of God? Then answer, yes.
Yes.
Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord Gordon, this morning, Lord God, there is a culture waiting for our young people that tells them that they are worthless. But Lord God, there is a word that has been entrusted to us, that has been told to us, that you gave your life for each and every one of us, because we can look to your sacrifice, Lord. Lord God, there is strength in there. There is power. There's ability to stay self-controlled in the midst of turmoil. Lord God, we pray for these shepherds here, that they go forward. Give them strength, even when our young people have a little bit too much energy. Give them the answers, Lord, when their questions are sometimes too much for us. Lord God, we ask you to be with their families, Lord. Lord God, they seek to follow you. The devil wants to attack those who would teach in order to bring them down. Lord God, we ask you to give their families strength. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for standing and for coaching the next generation.